From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where you get a deeper dive into stories from our radio newsrooms across the nation. Today, On Deadline is looking for the best deals possible as Americans continue to weather inflation. Rising prices since the COVID-19 pandemic have forced many to rack up credit card debt and dive into their savings, sometimes even their 401ks, just to make ends meet. But now relief might be coming in a way many might not expect. In the empire of American companies, some are striking back. Earlier this month, it was reported that McDonald's would launch a $5 value meal this summer, offering customers a sandwich, drink, and fries for what used to get you a foot-long sandwich at Subway. Following suit, Wendy's announced that it's offering a $3 breakfast meal. These moves come after a $25 McDonald's Chicken McNugget meal deal recently went viral, and surge pricing at Wendy's was scrapped over customer outcry. Grocery stores and retailers are obviously reading the room, too. Target announced that it would be lowering the prices of 1,500 brand name and in-house items immediately, with plans to cut the cost of thousands more this summer. CBS News' Jill Schlesinger joined Odyssey in Target's hometown of Minneapolis to give some insight behind the store's move.
Jill, this is a pretty significant move by Target.
Yeah, and I think that the issue here is that Target and its bigger brother sister, Walmart, are in a very intense moment here. So remember that Walmart is an organization that really did start to focus on groceries, and that really helped them during the pandemic. I think Target didn't have as much inventory devoted to groceries. And so when people started to see a surge in prices, you know, they could pull back on certain things. They weren't pulling back on groceries. And so the question really is now, can Target pivot and start to make some progress as it tries to chase Walmart? It is really tough. I mean, Walmart has a bigger presence. I think Target's got to really kind of move the needle here and say, okay, come back and give people a reason to come back.
That's so true. I mean, that's exactly what they're saying. But this progress so far this year on inflation has been slow and frustrating.
Yeah, it sure has. I mean, so look, we had a new inflation report out last week. And, you know, it did show that there was some progress, which, by the way, a lot better than the first 3 months of the year where we did not see progress. We actually saw the inflation rate start to drift up some. And yes, I could be one of those people who explains it away and I say, oh, well, gas prices, this, but it didn't matter. People were getting bummed out about this. In April, we did see the overall inflation rate and the core rate, which removes food and energy, move in the right direction. Down, gang, down. And, you know, it may not feel like a lot, a tenth or two tenths of a percent, but after having 3 months where people were really worried that we were going in the wrong direction, this reversal is welcomed. Now, the other thing that happened is that as the inflation rate report was revealed, investors started to eat up stocks. They drove them higher. Why? Because there was a great sense of relief that actually, the Federal Reserve might lower interest rates this year at the September meeting, maybe again in the December meeting. And for a couple months, we were not sure about that. It looked like maybe they were going to sit on their hands and do nothing for 2024.
And real quickly, it's the housing costs that's having the huge impact, too, on consumers.
Yeah, shelter is a big component of the CPI, the Consumer Price Index. And, you know, it's a weird measure. They actually get the number from a variety of ways that many economists think is dubious. But what I can say is because housing costs and rental costs have not moved down substantially, at least in these reports, it does keep inflation higher than maybe your experience is on the ground. Because, heck, if you have a fixed rate mortgage, you don't feel housing inflation in any way. You really don't. You're like, you know, it's a bummer. My homeowner's insurance went up, but hey, the value of my house went up way more.
While Target is taking a bold step to bring in more customers, Walmart, the store's big brother, according to Schlesinger, is taking a different approach. At the beginning of May, the retailer launched a new brand called Better Goods. It's the largest private brand food launch in 2 decades. And it's part of Walmart's latest initiative to capture young customers looking to get high-quality food for cheap.
Walmart shared that it's going to launch 300 new items through the brand, and that they'll range in price from $2 to $15, with most of them coming in at around $5. Among these items are premium bronze-cut pasta from Italy, plant-based mozzarella, oat milk, non-dairy frozen desserts, various seasonings, and more. Kirthi Kalyanam is the executive director of the Retail Management Institute at Santa Clara University's Levy School of Business. He's had his eye on this new launch from Walmart and shared more on what it could mean with Odyssey.
Yeah, is this in response to Walmart's competitors?
This is in response to growing inflation and food prices becoming a large part of the consumer's basket. I have a headline for you. The joke is that the last time food prices were this high was when Terminator 2 was released in the theaters in 1990, approximately 90.
Really?
So, yeah, 11.3% is the latest number as to what percent of a household's budget is being consumed by food. And that the last time that happened was in 1991.
So Walmart's been working on this for a few years, and from what I understand, came up with their own very unique food brands. They're not trying to knock off somebody else's. And we also need to point out that Walmart already has a generic line of products, right? So these are elevated. Why go elevated if you're Walmart?
Part of their challenge is that the historic focus has been on national brands at low prices, and they didn't really have much in terms of these kind of elevated product set at all historically. And by the way, it takes a long time for a retailer to develop a product line like this, but it takes an even longer time for them to get credibility with customers, so that customers understand what it actually means. Let me give you one specific example. If you remember, my favorite thing to do at a Trader Joe's is when you go and they're sampling food all the time. You guys notice that, right?
Absolutely. So,
and that's a way of getting the customer to know the product inside the store in a very cost-effective way. And that's, if you have a big private label portfolio, that's a very important thing to do.
Very interesting to learn that. I always wondered if that actually worked, because I always go sampling on the weekend at Costco. How do you suppose this might affect, though, the Walmart brand, which many people consider to be a place with great value?
Yeah, I think this is actually very, very much consistent with their overall brand, because if you look at their price points, they are targeting like almost $5 is the price point they're targeting for a lot of these items. So in that sense, I think it's extremely consistent with the brand. The question is, you know, how many places will go for curry chicken empanada? How many places will go for the raspberry jam that has the rose syrup in it? That, I think, how much of flexibility or palate does the Walmart shopper have to be interested in these items? That's an open question.
How confident are you that is this stuff is actually going to taste good, right? They're inventing all this stuff. They came up with it that you mentioned. They've been working on it for years. It's no accident. What if it tastes bad?
See, I'm actually fairly confident that it's going to be tasting pretty good, because I think the amount of work they've gone at, remember, they are the nation's largest grocer. It's about like their share of the grocery market is about 60%. It's a stunning number, right? So Walmart's big. So they, you know, no supplier would not answer a call from Walmart. No food company will not answer a call from Walmart. So I think definitely they have access to anything and everything. And these big retailers are so big that they have the scale. For example, Costco has the scale to buy nuts cheaper than, say, Planters. That's how big they are. So I think they have access to the best and the brightest. The concern I have is when the flavors are interesting and somewhat esoteric, how do you introduce them to the customer in a retail store when there is no advertising that you do? A lot of these brands don't have retail advertising, so that's why Trader Joe's does in-store sampling. So the bigger concern is, how do you get customers, encourage them to taste these? Remember, there's a hell of a lot of sampling that goes on at Costco for the same reason.
As we mentioned earlier in the episode, fast food staples like McDonald's, Wendy's, KFC, and more are lowering prices as they struggle to retain customers. In the first quarter, the corporate parent of KFC, Taco Bell, and Pizza Hut said its overall same-store sales narrowed by 3%. We continue to feel the impact of a more cautious consumer, CEO Laxman Narasimhan said. McDonald's said its first quarter comparable sales went up 1.9%, compared to 12.6% in 2023's first quarter. Starbucks saw a decrease of 4% in its global comparable store sales for a second quarter in a row. Red Lobster even declared bankruptcy, and others are being forced to close up shop as sales continue to decline. Disposable income in the United States is also declining, per a Reuters report. That's enticing more Americans to eat at home. Bloomberg's Dina Shankar joined Odyssey to discuss this situation and why some restaurants like Chipotle and Sweetgreen are seeing success while others are struggling.
Fast casual chains like Chipotle and Sweetgreen appear to be weathering the storm a little bit better. So, Dina, what is fast casual and why are they doing better?
Fast casual is, you know, one CEO of a fast casual chain made a joke that it's really just any new restaurant concept. But I think it's a little more specific than that, and that it's a bit better. The food is of higher quality, or at least it seems to be of higher quality than fast food. You often get like a nicer decor. It's usually healthier and it's often more expensive.
Okay, so you're talking about the lines of like Chipotle and Sweetgreens, and you talked to Chipotle's founder. What did he say about what's happening in the industry?
Yes. So I spoke to Steve Ells, who founded Chipotle, and he said that when he started Chipotle back in 1993, that basically people told him he was crazy, that nobody was going to pay the high prices that he was charging for his, you know, made-to-order burritos when you could go to a Taco Bell and they had 59, 79, 99 cent prices on their menus. Meanwhile, here he is selling a burrito made to order, a chicken burrito for $3.95, which of course I think today we would all consider a really good deal. And of course, a lot of other people thought it was a really good deal. And eventually the chain became a huge national phenomenon. And it's one of the most successful chains there is.
After more than 24 months of inflation, one thing is certain. Americans are tired, whether it be rent, groceries, meals, insurance, car payments, or anything else. We're paying more for things now than ever before. So Americans are also looking for value. Over the next 6 months, Reuters found that nearly 45% of those surveyed said they plan to cut back on food away from home to save money. Will that force the return of biggie sizes? $1 menu items? We do know that Taco Bell expanded its Cravings Value menu that offers 10 options for $3 or less. Sonic also has half-price shakes after 7 p.m. And McDonald's is keeping up its Free Fries Fridays promotion through the rest of the year. Restaurant Business speculates that fast food restaurants could be cooking up a price war this summer as they try to draw in customers. Mike Zuccaro, an analyst with Moody's, said that consumers may be able to expect more budget meal deal offers because, quote, it's becoming more of a dogfight. I can't speak for the rest of my producers here at On Deadline, but if that means cheaper tacos for me for the foreseeable future, I'm okay with it. This show is produced by Joe Heedy, Christy Strauser, and by me. I'm Lauren Berry, and I want to say thanks for listening to On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.